So, Scott, I got a hold of your resume.
Why were you looking for my resume?
I was just curious, you know, what you... You know, sometimes people pad their qualifications a little bit, like, or come up with alternate ways of saying anything to make them sound a little fancier than they are.
Oh, I would never do that.
Okay, so you have a bachelor's degree from the College of Santa Fe.
Right, that's correct.
When it says here you have a master's in technology from the University of California, Los Angeles?
Well, yeah, after I left College of Santa Fe, I came out here that, you know, I took a correspondence course to get that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I figured it was something I needed to know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well then it says you have another master's in... I don't even know what this word is. What does this mean?
Kaffeeklagen?
What is that? What is that?
Doesn't everybody have that?
I don't know what it is.
Doesn't everyone who graduates college get that degree?
I didn't get one.
Well, I don't know what
is
you
what
went
does
to.
It mean? Is it Latin?
Yeah, it just means degree.
You have a degree in a degree?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, Scott, you have a doctorate in parasailing?
Listen, there was a time when I lost my job and I didn't have anything else to do. So I figured we were in California.
They give degrees in parasailing?
Only doctorates.
Okay. Now, here's one that... come on. This is not real. There is no university on the moon.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And it's operated and run by Richard Branson.
Really?
Yes. It's kind of amazing. Like, he does all this talk about getting that space flight up there. He's already been up there for years. You should try it sometime. It's actually really cool. Not as expensive as you would think.
I don't know. There's not as much gravity to a degree from a university on the moon.
You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I have the resume to give my qualifications.
You do not know how to juggle. It says right here, skills, juggling, fire eating, sword swallowing. Scott,
how long
have I known you?
You're right. I don't know how to juggle.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
49.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Bacon.
Greetings.
That is Jamie Dooner.
And that is Scott Gold.
So we were
just pointing at each other.
You guys can't see that.
I can see it.
Were you pointing at me?
No, I was pointing at my head.
I was pointing at you.
My face was pointed at you.
You made a good point. So it's been 2 weeks. We're back. Lots of stuff. Crazy technology.
Finally, another crazy week in technology. We're back to the basics here at Tech Bacon.
Lots of things going on. Let's dig right in. So the other day I was on Twitter.
And were you tweeting or just reading tweets?
I was reading.
You're not a tweeter. You're a tweet reader.
I tweet, but I read more than I tweet.
Right.
Is there a term for reading tweets?
A tweeter?
Tweeter
E-A-D?
Would be somebody who tweets, right? So what about somebody who reads?
TWEADE.
Oh, tweeter.
Tweeter. That joke would work if it was on Twitter.
You're right. It would. Maybe we should put it up there. So anyway, all of a sudden I noticed some weird tweets. Like there was something from Nike and there was something from some other technology.
You don't follow Nike?
No. And it was really weird. And I'm like, what are these things? And then I noticed there's something called promoted tweets. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I have.
I don't know how much I like these promoted tweets. Like, what makes me get certain promoted tweets? Is it based on my followers and their followers?
I bet it's based on who you follow.
Based on who you follow?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. I mean, like, they look different, so you know they're not.
They're on the mobile version anyway, they're sort of highlighted like an off color.
Right, exactly. Kind of like a yellowish thing. I mean, I guess it's smart. It's advertising built right in. But like, you know, on Facebook, you have the advertising and there's a bar on the bottom, or, you know, like this is feels sneaky for some reason.
You know, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you. I don't mind a little bit of it, you know,
and they don't go overboard, at least
it's
not
like
on mine.
Once one out of every 100 tweets or something.
Yeah.
But if it becomes like,
I mean, I guess it's like product
one of
placement.
Every three or four, then I don't like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's similar to, I guess, to product placement that you see in movies and TV shows.
I mean,
shows,
the
right?
fact of the matter is Twitter,
they have to make money.
That has to make money. They're a company that has been struggling to figure out how to make money. And here's a no brainer.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I found it weird. My cousin got recommended to follow, you know, the progressive girl through a promoted tweet.
Oh man,
like
that's terrible.
You know, like so and so. You know, you should follow so and so. It's so very strange.
Yeah,
like that line is iffy. Not right. that they shouldn't be able to do it. I mean, I guess it makes sense. And you're right. If it doesn't get like egregious or crazy.
Yeah, I am currently working with MTV, and I heard at a meeting the other day them talking about promoting Teen Wolf. Like
promoted tweets.
They paid they have a premium level mm-hmm. per day. So like whoever pays that top price will get like the most people
right,
tweeted
right.
to. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so I had not heard that before. That's where I became aware of it, and then I just noticed that I was getting ads
in your feed. I wonder, yeah. like, I don't follow a ton of people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if people who really follow a lot get more of the promoted tweets.
Yeah,
like I wonder if that matters.
I'm like an old man on Twitter, like you. we really are old men. Like, I barely ever tweet anything. I kind of look at it, but I'm not like constantly on it. Like,
yeah.
a lot of people
I don't know
are.
How people do that. Who people like are tweeting multiple times a day all the time. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah, but there are certain people that I think probably write things down. They have a journal, just things to tweet.
Oh, maybe.
I know that some comedians do that for sure. And they just sort of roll them out slowly.
Yeah. And I know obviously some people, there's bots that will retweet for, like I was following this.
Tweetbot.
That was an app actually on Android.
Was it?
Tweetbot, yeah. There was a guy I was following, some Time magazine technology reporter, and I would say three times a day the same tweet would come, like, read my article, buy my article on Amazon, blah blah blah. And it was the same exact dialogue, the same thing.
Yeah.
I stopped following him because it just got annoying.
I tend to not follow. This is funny because we're talking about that the promotion thing doesn't bother me, but I tend to unfollow anyone who just does promotion tweets.
Yeah. If it's just promotion tweets. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm curious to see how far they take the promoted tweets, you know?
Right.
Like I can almost, what worries me is that all of a sudden there's going to be a tweet from you, and within it, based on words you use, there's going to be like promotion based on your content.
I could see maybe tweeters getting paid for that.
I think people already do that.
But I mean through the site itself, not through someone contacting them and saying,
right.
I
wonder,
will you tweet for us, man? What?
What a world.
I hate that word.
Tweet.
I hate
tweet,
it.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
That's, I just hate that it's
tweet,
used
tweet.
So often.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tweet. Yes.
rockin' Jamie.
Oh man. Yeah. I don't know. Just the word tweet.
Right.
Tweet. Because you have to enunciate it.
Tweet.
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 It's like a vocal exercise.
Tweet.
Tweet.
A really boring vocal exercise. apparently, I need to use them because I said exercise instead of exercise.
So funny. So on the heels of that, Facebook started testing this new highlight feature where you pay to promote your posts. Now, this is even stranger than the promoted tweets, I feel.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
So the way the Facebook highlight feature works is, I guess you pay money and your posts appear higher in the feed or highlighted in the feed.
I don't really understand.
Friends.
How does it work now? Like, why are there certain people who I follow that I don't necessarily, they're not necessarily people whose page I visit the most, tend to show up more in my feed? Or
I mean, I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's based on,
is it based on the amount of times they post? That might
no,
be
no, it's not necessarily based on the amount of times they post, but it's based on what they post about, if they link to certain things, if they've tagged you in pictures and stuff like that, it whatever it uses to do that. But I always like, I always keep mine on most recent.
You can change the setting. I like having that
better than those things. But
well, if you have a most recent feed on, is it still going to put these important posts
I don't know.
First?
I don't know. And like, it highlights it, I guess. I guess it just highlights the post.
And it costs $2 to highlight a post?
Well, I'm sure you can... I'm sure it's the same thing as promoted tweets and advertising, where it's like you pay more and it gets highlighted more. Or actually, maybe not. Maybe it's just $2 per promoted post. That's weird.
I don't like it.
Like, I could just see... I get it on the business side, and I, for people who follow like Twitter on Facebook now, you know, but I just could see some... that annoying person that you're friends with on Facebook all of a sudden just wants attention. And so starts, you know, promoting like their own posts.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Like, you know, you,
hey, I'm going to promote a post about how you suck.
Every day, Jamie's going to just promote a post that something really weird. Actually, I would want you to do that. Like, I actually may pay for you to promote your post.
Hey, I'll take it. $2 a pop.
$2 a pop for Jamie Dooner Wit. You're so witty. I don't know. I find it... it's odd. I mean, it's something they're just testing. Like, they haven't rolled it out or anything. But it's strange.
I do not like it.
I do not like it. And another thing they rolled out on the Book of Face... Facebook, which is something close to your quote unquote heart, Jamie D. So Facebook rolled out an organ donation feature on the site, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. So basically you go to your sort of life event section. And within health and wellness, you check off organ donation, just basically to make sure people are aware that you're an organ donor. My father was received a heart transplant about 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
and he's no longer with us, but he survived for many years with the new heart. But one of the things I learned through that whole process was that unless your family really knows that you want to be an organ donor, they, because they're basically the ones that make the decision. So unless your family really knows, or your friend or your wife or whoever is, will be making that decision, then they won't do it.
They won't do it.
Yeah. They won't, like, your family has to give the final say.
They give the final say, right? Yeah. Even if it's on your driver's license
or whatever. But so you just want people, as many people to know as you can.
Be aware.
If that's what you want, you know, and I don't know why you wouldn't, but,
and I mean, also like, aside from like that knowing, I think having people put that just spreads awareness about organ donation, because it'll show up. So-and-so is an organ donor, and you see it on your friends, and it just makes you, oh, I should be an organ donor.
You know
what I mean? Like just knowing about it, I think. I think it's rare that you see stuff on these tech sites that isn't about the business. And I really don't think this is. I think this is just a good thing. And every now and then you see a site do a good thing, and it's nice to talk about it and report about it, because it's you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
And every day people need organ transplants. Happens every day.
Exactly.
There's huge, long waiting lists for all sorts of organs, and you know, the more people that are willing to do that when the time comes, obviously, when you are beyond saving, the more people that do that, the better.
Absolutely. So if you are an organ donor or want to be an organ donor or plan to be an organ donor, let the world know on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then promote that.
And then promote that. That's worth the $2.
Yeah, right.
That's worth the $2.
And then tweet about it.
I wonder if this something like this is going to spur similar type of awareness for not just organ donation, but just other types of things on social media networks and, you know, health related and wellness and that kind of thing.
I feel like there's a lot of that stuff already.
No, but like not built into the site. Like people right. do it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly. But like, not built into the site. You're right.
Like that's, you know, maybe we'll see more of that or maybe right. just, you know, it'll be nice to do. So that was on the Facebook front last week. And it's good stuff. So on the rumor mill front, hey, Jamie, guess what? There's a rumor about Apple.
What? Extra.
Extra.
Read all about it. Rumor about Apple computers.
Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah.
Never.
That doesn't happen 50 times a week.
You know, I always take solace in the fact that if we don't have anything to talk about on the show, there's going to be like 10 Apple rumors that come out during a week that we can discuss. So this one has been floating around for a while. It's seen a little more traction recently, but it's nothing crazy new, but always something interesting to consider. Apple, the possibility of Apple offering their own mobile service. So them being an AT&T or a Verizon or whatever. So you would buy the iPhone would be the phone and service combined.
Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, they're. I mean, if they have spectrum to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if they actually get spectrum to do that, they're allowed to do it. You know.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea. I think it'll be expensive. But I also know that Apple has a...
although I wonder if it would be.
A certain amount of quality control that is the reason why everyone...
Likes Apple.
And so they will go above and beyond to make sure that they don't have
dropped
the issues
calls
that AT&T has had with their phones, you know?
That's true. That is true. I wonder if it would be expensive. Like, I have a feeling it would maybe not be expensive or they would bundle a whole... service package, you know, like with your iCloud account, then you can get the Wi-Fi on your phone and on built into a laptop and built it, you know, like mm-hmm. I could see them bundling a huge package together, kind of like, you know, what Kindle did, the original Kindle did,
right?
That came with you got the built-in 3G network,
right?
I mean, it wasn't owned by Amazon. I think they piggybacked off Verizon or Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think it was Verizon, but something like that, like with an all-encompassing price, you know what I can almost see happening? I don't know if I like this or not, but I can almost see a leasing program from Apple with phone and data service and everything, like part of your monthly thing includes the phone, you know,
right.
and the data service and everything, as opposed to buying
the device. That's what carriers do already, basically, isn't it?
But you still have to buy the device.
But sometimes you get it for
but
free.
You get it. Yeah, that is true. Like, I could see that, maybe that model, if Apple was doing it themselves, to be
right.
the iPhone. You know? I don't know. I'm curious to see. And with the Apple TV and all that stuff. But this rumor's come up a bunch of times. I just wonder if Apple's even any interest in doing something like that.
They want to take over the world.
They want to do everything. Being the biggest company. And all.
Yeah.
They want to take over our lives.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. In our TVs, in our phones, in our brains.
Yes.
Yes, sir. You sound like Igor.
Yes. Apple will crush everyone. That was like...
it's a lie. I don't
know. Peter Lorre, I don't know where that...
Right.
Rick, where are the papers, Rick?
I saw Casablanca. I don't think I talked about that. Did I talk about that?
No.
Oh, wow.
Talk about it right now.
Talk about it
right
now. Well, yeah, sure, why not? We'll have a little movie interlude. But they did AMC did a screening of Casablanca. Casablanca. They actually, you know, I was watching the movie trying to hear how they say it. It's said a couple of different ways throughout the movie.
Well, people say,
but it's Casablanca.
You go to any city in the world and people say it in different
Casablanca.
Ways.
Casablanca.
You know?
Casablanca. I mean, Casablanca. Casa.
We say Florence.
Casablanca.
It's Firenze in right. Italy, you know?
So I went and saw Casablanca.
You're creeping me out.
So I went to see Casablanca with my girlfriend, and we and she had never seen it before.
Wow.
Which was very cool.
Nice.
So first of all, cool to see it on the big screen,
mm-hmm.
which I had never seen it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really different, and you talked about it when you saw Citizen Kane,
mm-hmm.
to see these old movies with an audience.
Oh, yeah.
Very different experience. Great. Like, the humor just comes out more than you remember.
Yeah.
You talked about that with Citizen Kane, and this was the same kind of thing. It really just, there's a lot of laughing, and God, you just get sucked into the movie. But what was so cool is she didn't know the ending.
Oh, that's great.
Like, to me, that was amazing to see her reaction to the ending, because she thought that Rick and
Ilsa
were going to go away together.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, and she's like, oh, that's
spoiler alert, yes, Scott.
I
you don't want to spoil the
movie. but yeah, like, that's what she thought was going to happen. So to actually be with somebody and experiencing an old classic like
yeah,
that,
yeah,
where
with,
they don't,
with like maybe the best ending of all time.
That ending sequence, I actually think it is the best ending of all time.
Yeah.
There's so, the writing is so good. In that.
That is the, it's really the best example of the old Hollywood studio system that there is.
Yeah.
Because it was all a mistake. Everything about that movie was a big mistake.
Yeah. And that they didn't have the ending written.
Yeah. The movie was like sort of being put together as it was being shot. And yeah.
I think they said they took a break to write the ending.
Wow.
To finish writing the ending. And I mean, the lines in that ending are just like, first of all, the lines from that movie. Here's looking at you, kid, which, I mean.
There's a million lines from that movie. Like,
and the maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
There's like.
Play it again, Sam. It's like.
He never says
that. He never
again,
says though. That. I know.
Play it, Sam. He says it.
Yeah, I know.
But Casablanca has to be maybe one of the most quotable movies. It's that. It's like The Godfather. I would say Airplane is a movie
Airplane.
People quote a
Absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely.
But I mean, what else is there? Those are it. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Airplane, it's weird to say Airplane,
but it
it's
is
true.
It
Everyone
is. Yeah.
Says
that
Airplane
is,
jokes
that
all
is
the time.
Quoted constantly.
Yeah.
but yeah, man, that movie, God, just awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome movie.
Great movie. If you've never seen it,
highly recommend it.
Scott just ruined the ending for you.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. But also, is you know, what's kind of cool about that movie is there is nothing typical about that movie. It's not like there's not
it's
a generic
plot. It's all over the place. It's not. It's a hard movie to define.
Right.
Like it doesn't really fit into a genre.
No.
Like you know, people think of it as a classic romance, but it's not really that. It's a thriller. It's a very funny movie.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
It really, it has got everything. But
yeah.
I, you know, I was watching it and enjoying it, and then it just gets to that end scene.
Yeah.
And you're just blown away every time.
Right.
At least I am. Like,
oh,
every time I
great.
See it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just sit there and watch the maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, like, goodbye.
Yeah.
And you're just, like, so engrossed. And, you know, this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know,
uh-huh.
all these lines. But anyway, so it was very cool to see on the big screen. AMC does this. With movies, they've been doing it a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they will take before there's some big DVD release. It seems is when they do it.
Yeah,
they'll show like I saw Back to the Future. We saw
Taxi Driver,
awesome. And then Casablanca. It happens often. So check, you know, look at the papers and you know see if you see these special screenings. They're usually one night only.
Mm-hmm.
This one they did an extra night. Like 3 weeks later because it was so popular.
Yeah.
But
by the way, did you see all the movies they're playing at the Cinerama Dome?
No.
On Saturdays for the next month? You got to check it out.
No, I did not. Old, like, classic movies?
Yeah, it's all huge. It's like Ben-Hur and Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, my God.
Big 70mm
We're
craziness.
Going to some of those or one of those at
and
least.
They're showing them like 4 or 5 times shows a day, you know?
In the Dome?
In the Dome, yeah.
For those of you that don't know, The Cinerama Dome is...
It's like the Thunderdome, but for movies.
Right. You go in, you battle to the death while watching a movie.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. But it's an old one of the old Hollywood theaters, and it is a massive screen. And one of the only theaters that still has the...
Cinerama projector. Cinerama was a sort of a gimmick in the late 60s to compete with television, because television was taking away viewers. So basically, movies, if you look at a lot of old movies, have similar dimensions to television. They're like a square.
Right, yeah.
And as television got more popular, you'd see the screen dimensions sort of grow more rectangular so they could put a bigger picture on the screen. And that's why you have letterboxed things and all that sort of stuff. But Cinerama was sort of like the widest, the one.
Multiple
imaginable.
Projectors.
Yeah, three projectors. There was only a handful of movies actually shot in Cinerama, so like maybe a dozen.
How the West was one.
How the West was one. It's a Mad World. Those are the two that I can think of the top of my head. But
And then the Dome here will show one of those.
And I want to go see It's a Mad World so bad in
Don't
Cinerama.
Play it.
I love that movie.
We just got to keep an eye open. It's going to happen. That's a crazy movie.
Yeah, it's silly, but it makes me laugh.
But it's fun. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. Okay, to go back into the tech world after our movie thing. There's a couple other things, but I'm gonna skip some stuff. One thing that we're gonna talk about our good friends at Research in Motion for a second.
Research in Motion. I think they're Australian.
They're Canadian.
Well, that's kind of like the Australia of America.
Huh. Really?
No.
No. Not at all. that's so weird. So they released this new campaign. Oh, man. First of all, they recently released these developer phones with the new BlackBerry OS on them.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about, you were watching something.
Yeah, I saw a little promo video for them. They look like an iPhone, they all do
right
now. And but it seemed, it's like there were some neat things about the operating system that I haven't seen yet. I mean, just little tiny, things and
keyboard things.
Yeah, there was a neat thing with the keyboard where as you're typing each letter, it suggests a word that you might be a word that you type a lot, or that it thinks will come next in the sequence of things, and then you just swipe up. So it's just like you're swiping one thing instead of typing the whole letter.
You just kind of go upward.
So it's not like suggestions where you have to.
It's different.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat.
Clever.
Actually.
I mean, the thing is with the BlackBerry is they, and actually let me talk about this ad because this is going to lead right into it. So they just released this ad about being a business person, and what you need to be a business person is to use BlackBerry. And it's this, this guy, a guy who sounds Australian, actually.
He was Australian. Voiceover. That's why I said I thought they were Australian.
And it's just, I found it.
You know what's, the ad itself is hypocritical, because the whole top of the ad, he's saying business isn't what it used to be. And, people don't wear suits, they wear hoodies. And he says sort of stuff. And at the end of the ad, they're saying, we're the business phone. Come back to us. We're the business phone.
Right.
Like,
they're basically saying,
put back your suit.
iPhone,
put on your suit.
Yeah. And come
snap
if you
out
want,
of it.
If you want a real business
suit.
Phone.
Right.
And so their campaign is, wake up, be bold, BlackBerry. And I think it should be, wake up, BlackBerry, be bold. Because these guys, I know they're trying, but my biggest thing with Research in Motion is, and I've preached much about Research in Motion, just too fun to talk about, but they miss the boat. No matter what the problem is, no matter how great a device they come out with, there's just not, I don't think there's room. I don't think there's room for another OS to take off like any of these other ones.
Right.
Like the Windows phones that came out, these Lumia phone that AT&T has released.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous phone, beautifully built. The Windows OS is good. They're doing decent. But I just don't think there's anything that someone can do. It's just too it's just, they're just too late to the game. I mean, I think in a few years there'll be an opening and someone will overtake someone else. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that obviously that always happens in these OS words, but I think they just, I don't know. I think what, here's my prediction. New BlackBerry.
Scott Gold makes a prediction.
Thank you. My prediction for BlackBerry, my prediction is towards the end of the year, if they come out with the new phone, maybe it'll be the end of the year, maybe it'll be the beginning of next year. They keep pushing stuff so long anyway. But I think it's going to come out. It's going to be a big splash. And unless it is an extremely huge hit, which I don't think it will be, that will be the nail in the coffin. That will be it. I don't think they can survive that.
RIP, RIM.
Yes, RIP, RIM. And you know that's going to be the the headlines everywhere. RIP, RIM. Oh my God. Totally. I mean, you know, they're competing with the Apple and the Nokia and Windows and Samsung making the Android phones. Like, you know, Samsung just came out with they just launched their new, actually, I want to talk about that for a second. I forgot that was the other week. So Samsung has their new Galaxy phone. Mm-hmm. Galaxy S3, and they did this big launch event, and the whole thing is like the phone is based on a pebble and it's all these nature sounds, and it was like this whole totally got sucked into the presentation.
The phone is based on a pebble?
Yeah, like the shape and like the feel, and like they did this whole nature kind of like Zen garden, like to all the sounds and the icons are all, you know.
But wait a minute,
not
the
harsh.
Phone is based on a pebble?
Well, yeah.
So are you supposed to skip your phone across the water?
You could.
Shouldn't it be? It should be based on a seashell because you're putting it up to your ear.
One could do that.
Although
and then you hear the ocean.
That would be pointy.
You always hear the ocean when you put the phone up to your ear.
That's how it rings.
Yeah.
You never hear it.
That's really funny. Hello?
Well, that is not the ocean. That is a breeze, a gentle breeze.
What is the ocean?
I'm not. I can't.
Come on,
Michael
give me the ocean.
Winslow. I can't do.
Come on. Give me the ocean.
I don't know. Or that was either the ocean or a respirator.
Crash. Wave. That's the ocean. Oh man. Anyway, I
still don't understand how a phone is based on a pebble.
Well, like the shape of a
pebble. So it's like it's just the shape
like
of
the
a pebble.
Rounded, like yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just
so
the
it fits
the,
in the palm the like form. A stone, like a palm in like the palm of your hand. It's more contoured.
Yes,
to the
that
curves
is, well,
of a
that
human
is what they say.
Hand.
I mean, a lot of people weren't that impressed with it. I think it looked cool.
And
but
is it like a river stone, a river
yes,
pebble?
Yes, like
a
river pebble. Like
thing,
a smooth
like,
river
okay.
pebble. Yes. Stone.
Or is it like Pebbles Flintstone?
It's there's a red version, and then there's a Bam Bam version. yeah, I don't know. I thought it was cool. A lot of people weren't impressed with the presentation, but the biggest thing with Samsung phones is I always think they feel cheap, even though they look really nice and
it's
they're
cheap
designed
pebble.
Well. Cheap pebble, a plastic pebble, because they're made like, plasticky. Anyway, so that came out. BlackBerry, man,
BlackBerry,
wake up, BlackBerry, wake up, wake up! I say,
Scott Gold gets so mad about BlackBerry.
I really do. it's such major frustration because they had a chance. They had a chance to make some changes, and they didn't make any changes.
Right.
Like, come on. Something. All right, and now a little tag to the tech stuff, which I thought was interesting. And I'm going to try and pronounce this.
The Antikythera mechanism.
I think that was actually pretty good. Actually, I think that is how it's pronounced. Say it again.
Antikythera.
It's this device that was found, and it is basically they call it the world's oldest computer. It's not a computer, but it's a really high functioning kind of clock accounting device that I guess it was recovered in the very early 1900s. And it's from ancient Greece.
From a shipwreck.
From a shipwreck. Yeah. It was discovered in a shipwreck. And it's rusted and barnacled out. And, you know, this thing,
Arg! Arg! We found us a computer! A computer!
A computer! Actually, say that. Say that in the pirate.
Anti-Theracle!
Did that say it right?
Anti-Kythera.
Anti-Kythera.
Anti-Theracle.
That sounds like a boat name. That would be
it was the name
ship.
Of the boat.
Oh, that was the name of
the Anti-Kythera wreck.
Oh, that's funny. So nobody knew really what this thing was when it was found. And I guess BBC 4, I believe is the channel, has this little documentary about at the museum. They were trying to just get a better understanding of it and how it looked and whatever. And they reached out to all these different imaging people around the world and found this one company that does these X-ray, 3D imaging X-rays
mm-hmm.
of usually it's used for medical purposes and stuff like that. And they brought him in to X-ray this. What's the name?
Anti-Kythera.
The Anti-Kythera. And what they found was fascinating. Like they never were able to see inside, and they were able to find there were tons and tons of gears inside, more complex than they could ever have imagined was designed in ancient Greece. I mean, it just blew the lid off how advanced these civilizations were that mm-hmm. anybody even realized. It was used. They weren't 100% sure what it's used for. Some sort of recording purposes, maybe crops or lunar cycles or things like that. But it's just fascinating, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fascinating that, like, would you ever have thought something like that could be around back then?
I think there's something to the fact that. When there's not really a paper trail to a certain time in history,
hard to know at all.
It's hard to know the big picture.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for all we know, dinosaurs had technology. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I mean, like, I think that's
dinosaurs.
I've heard people.
Dinosaur.
Actually,
for all we know, dinosaurs had technology.
obviously,
you may have
that's
just named
true.
The show,
I've actually heard a couple people talking recently about how we're sort of moving towards this society without paper
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how any sort of like cataclysmic event
would wipe out our
would
recorded
wipe
history.
Out anything that hasn't been recorded. So, we're obviously not there yet, but we're getting there quickly.
True.
So, write stuff down, people. Write it down.
I know the government.
Print it out.
I know the government and stuff is like burning things to like gold-plated DVDs and stuff like that, and burying them under the ground, and with recorded history,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
Yeah, but how are they going to play them? Huh? How are they going to play them?
There will eventually be electricity
people
again.
Is there going to be? Was there electricity in ancient Greece? I don't think so. And now we have this machine that we. That we can recreate, but we don't know what the hell it does.
That's true. It's a doomsday device.
It is. Who knows? Yeah, maybe this is how the world ends.
It was cool. They took I didn't watch the whole documentary. I just was able to watch clips because I don't think it had aired yet. But after they took these images, they created a 3D model of the actual device in the mm-hmm. computer. Like they were able to actually fully create like how it would work and all the gears and mechanisms. So fascinating.
Crazy.
So, so cool. So if you get BBC 4, check out the documentary. I think it'll be on demand also with BBC stuff, or I'm sure something like this will be. I see this ending up on PBS or just
National Geographic,
Netflix, or any of those things. Check it out. The world's oldest computer. I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's shocking that I find it fascinating. Now, if they found the world's oldest chocolate chip cookie,
you would still eat it.
I might. I can't say I wouldn't. That's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else?
Petrified food.
Petrified food leads us to rock and roll.
What?
Rock and roll.
Rock. I see what you did.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I see how that goes.
There's been a couple of concerts in the past couple weeks. Big one, I think, the biggest one is Jack White that you went to.
I saw Jack White at the Mayan Theater here in Los Angeles. I like Jack White. I like him better as a live performer than I do
like really? His recorded stuff.
Interesting.
You know, we have one friend who Jack White's kind of like his top two or three
of
people.
All time.
And I, you know, I like him fine, but I wouldn't, I don't think I really go out of my way to really listen to his music. I'll listen to it. But anyway, I think he's a really powerful live performer. Absolutely. And this
talented musician.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Great guitar player, of course. And he, every time I've seen him has sort of been in a different,
like unique.
Well, in a different, like I've saw him twice in the White Stripes. I saw him once in the Rockin' Tours, twice in Dead Weather, and now once doing a solo thing. And this time he had sort of this like Nashville setup. His band was all women, and they had
that's interesting.
They had sort of like a lap pedal steel guitar, an upright bass, like an old Hammond organ.
Oh, wow.
A fiddle, and then him and his electric guitar and a drummer. And it was great. I really enjoyed these versions of a lot of these songs. They sounded really good. Some of the stuff from the...
His new stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know what was new. See,
it's hard to tell
for me,
with this kind of performance.
Yeah, for me... Well, it wasn't even that. It's like, for me, I don't know his catalog all that well. Like I know, you know, there was one or two White Stripes albums that I was kind of obsessed with in the early 2000s. So I know those songs and I know,
but he's never
the Dead
done
Weather
a solo
stuff.
Album.
No.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
But I don't really know, like, you know, I don't know what's a White Stripes song that I don't know and what's
got it.
One of his solo songs.
Right.
I haven't listened to the new album more than once. And I don't have a photographic memory like Sam Wolf. But it was all good. I mean, it was good. It sounded like he, you know, there was a little spin on some of the old songs that I liked, and it was neat. And one of the scariest things I ever have seen at a concert happened at that show.
Really?
Yeah.
What
so
happened?
At the Mayan Theater is a really neat theater. Have you ever been there?
I have. It's very cool.
So it sort of looks like a set from an Indiana Jones movie.
That's
or something.
Exactly what it looked like.
It's like a big, it looks like a big Mayan temple inside, and there's just this cool rock work everywhere and these weird figures and
right.
It's neat.
Yeah.
It looks, you know what it looks like is a stage that would be in Guitar Hero or something, you know, it's just like really has all this yeah. crazy personality.
Awesome.
But it's kind of old and it's a little sketchy.
It's
in
a bit
there.
Decrepit.
Yeah.
As one might say.
And, so hanging from the ceiling are speakers and safety chains and all that sort of stuff. So in the middle of the show, a safety chain fell.
What?
And I mean, it didn't. It
was it. Attached
it was only
to
one
anything?
End. It was attached to the ceiling. I don't know what it fell from. It was attached to a speaker or something.
Oh my god!
But those chains are, you know, they're
heavy.
A few hundred pounds. They're big.
Didn't hit anybody.
I don't know. It like made a huge cracking whip sound. It was just like. Whoop.
That could kill somebody.
Yeah, and well, and the whole, I mean, like, he didn't notice he was playing and it was loud, but, like, everyone in the audience noticed, and people on the balcony were, like, standing up, looking down. We were on the floor, so I didn't see if someone was hurt. They didn't stop the show, and I didn't see right. them carry anyone out.
I mean, if that hit somebody.
That could kill someone.
If that hit somebody in the head.
Sure. I mean, someone, if dead. It hit anyone, someone was definitely suing the Mayan Theater right now. But,
I would almost just put my foot out.
But yeah, so that was, you know, for the next 15 minutes, I was just kind of like staring at the ceiling, wondering what was going to fall.
What was going to fall next?
But nothing else happened. But it was a good show. It was a really good show. It's always a good show. He always puts on a good show.
Is he like touring at all, or was it just a couple
of
one-off shows?
I think there's a tour. He does this thing. He's doing this thing where he's touring with, he has an all-girl band and an all-guy band.
Huh.
And he just decides the morning of the show which band
That's
is playing with him.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw the all-girl one, because I watched, there was a little live streaming thing of his New York show, and he played with both of them, and I thought the girl band was better.
Was better?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's cool. I haven't listened to the album yet. I want to give it a...
Yeah, our friends seem to like it. I like it fun.
Sounds like a great live show, though. Sounds like
yeah,
a very cool...
He's always good live. Always good.
Yeah. You didn't go to the Springsteen show this week.
I did not.
Last week.
No.
Yeah, me neither. I've seen him several times, but always supposed to be good.
But one of the best shows ever, man.
The one we went to?
Yeah.
But, we went to this show. It was
that show was incredible.
Him playing the Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger? Yeah.
Pete? Is it Pete?
Yeah, yeah, Pete. The Seeger session. It's not Bob Seeger.
No, it's not Bob Seeger. The Seeger session.
That would be confusing.
Him playing Bob Seeger. That would be really weird. When I first saw the album, when it first came out, that's what I thought about. I was like, that's really strange.
Right. But yeah, so that
old
was a
Prohibition era.
Yeah, it was
album.
All sort of like This Land Is Your Land, these old sort of protest songs. But it was, man, that was one of the, I would put that in maybe my top five concerts I've ever seen.
I mean, they had, how many musicians do you think were on stage when we saw that?
Probably 25.
And like
horn section just, but I mean, it was incredible. So everyone was singing along. It was really, I've seen Bruce Springsteen
revival,
many
man.
Times and that was the best I ever saw him.
Yeah. He was on fire. And yeah. Everybody, like, my favorite parts were when all, like, 20 musicians would come to the front of the stage all in a line.
Yeah.
And, like, playing the drums and the horns and Springsteen just strumming away like crazy, yeah, yeah. You know, Springsteen.
That was a great show.
That was amazing. A great show. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, so I've seen Springsteen a few times, but I don't ever need to see him again.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Like, after that, you know, like, yeah. that was the thing. And then I saw, who did I see?
Tennis.
Oh, yeah. Who did I say? I saw Tennis. Great fun show. Really just a lot of fun, you know, upbeat, poppy music. They sounded great. It was at the Troubadour. They have a new album out. They played a bunch of songs from the new album and I just thoroughly enjoyed that show. I really, really did. And everybody sounded just like in great form. And it was fun. I highly recommend checking out the album. It's available now and something just new and fun.
Right.
Fun, you know, that's all. It was fun they just had this just really light vibe to them.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the music. So
I saw another show, Washed Out, at the Fonda. Washed Out's a band. I think their genre is called chill wave. I don't really know how to
chill
describe
chill wave.
Yeah,
what does that mean exactly?
It's very chill, and it comes in waves.
Like you don't mean everyone does the wave?
No, that's the, yeah.
And then they say chill out, dude.
That does not. No. That is a joke my father wouldn't have made.
I'm channeling,
but I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to describe chill wave. It sounds like. There's a couple bands. Do you know the band Boards of Canada? It sounds like that to me. Or do you watch Portlandia?
I've seen it.
The title song is a washed out song.
Okay.
So it's all very... It's just... I don't
washed
know.
Washed out,
it's lots of synthesizers and...
Yeah.
And like very low vocals. Not low like... But I mean like...
Soft.
But it's good. And what I found... strange about the show, which I didn't expect, was people were dancing, like really dancing a lot. Had more of a beat. The music had more of a beat than I sort of thought it did. I mean, I've listened to the album a bunch, but I just didn't hear it in it, you know, because it sounds, it's very like, it's good music to put on with the ladies.
I see. Mental note. cool. Yeah, there was good tunes. And I'm going to go see this guy, Brendan Benson, tonight,
who is also in the Rockin' Tours.
Yeah, he's in the Rockin' Tours with Jack White, and he has a solo album. I enjoy the music. I was playing there. If you KCRW has a live session with him on their site and on the app for iPhone and Android. If anyone wants to check it out, it's pretty cool. He's actually really good, an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just talks about the album and himself and the Rockin' Tours and things like that. So, I think I was going to talk about some TV stuff, but. Maybe we should just jump to food. What do you think?
Should we talk about the Avengers a little bit?
You know what? We should talk about the Avengers because that was the biggest opening of all time. We would be remiss to not talk about the Avengers. Is that the right phrase? yes. The Avengers, over $200 million opening weekend, smashed the record for biggest opening of all time. I mean, by like $60 million or something. I mean...
Right.
In just domestic. I mean, this thing is doing gangbusters.
It's a blockbuster gangbusters.
Yeah.
Hey, Buster.
Hey, Buster.
This movie's a blockbuster.
Gangbuster.
It's doing gangbusters. Now let's bust a move. No?
No. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. So what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was really impressed how they were able to, like, balance all those characters.
Yeah, I mean,
to me, that was the biggest feat of
it
that
was,
movie.
It was all the I would say, it, like the first Iron Man movie, all the sort of the scenes that in the other movies that drag and are slow, but in Iron Man and this, like, just the sort of dialogue scenes.
Yeah,
that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They were all. It was all quick, and they had fun with it. It was fun.
Yeah, Joss I like Whedon, they had really good chemistry, and Joss Whedon's writing, I think, was a testament. He was perfect for this.
Yeah,
he was the perfect guy to do this movie. And I just, God, you know what? It's one of those movies I felt like a kid after. You know,
yeah,
want to be a superhero thing.
I'm like,
I know.
I'm kind of like. I've been over the summer movie thing for a few years. I still go and see them.
Yeah.
But I just, like, as much as I enjoyed it, I don't know that a summer movie's ever going to make me feel like it used to. Just because, you know, so they're all, it's just, you know exactly what's going to happen. And I know that shouldn't matter, but it does. And I also am sick of seeing giant alien spaceships attack cities. I'm over that.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to happen anymore. Someone come up with something new at that. No, I mean, like,
it's not, the thing is, it's not, it's that you see these trends in CG all the time.
Yeah.
They like, the CG guys like doing that. So it's going to be done for a while.
I get it, but I've, you know.
You know, at first it was water. There was always water effects.
I know,
constantly water effects.
I understand. I just don't care for the repetition. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I don't need, you know, I saw it in Transformers. I saw it in something else. The same exact thing. A giant, weird looking alien spaceship cutting through buildings.
Right.
Eh.
Right. But it was
looks like it happens in Battleship.
Like, it was fun. I thought, you know, I really liked you didn't see it in 3D, right?
No.
Yeah. So I saw it in 3D. I loved Iron Man stuff in that movie in 3D.
Uh-huh.
That character's meant for 3D because, like, the small Iron Man flying through the skies in 3D just was perfect. And, like, then they had all the scenes with the view from inside his mask.
Yeah.
And you saw the graphics and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 3D. Like, that was perfect. Those like little things. The 3D for about 3/4 of the movie was whatever. It was just kind of blah. Didn't really affect it at all. But that last sequence of the movie, to me, just really knocked it out of the park.
I will say, best Hulk stuff in any movie.
Mark Ruffalo was perfect.
Yeah. And the Hulk himself, like, the CG Hulk, was really angry. Like, it wasn't, he wasn't pensive, like, he wasn't the angry one.
Right.
And the Ed Norton one,
it was okay.
It was okay, but in this one, it was like furious rage that you can't control, and you really felt that.
And you know what I liked? Like, I enjoyed the Ed Norton Hulk. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the problem with those Hulk movies is everyone likes the Hulk because he, in the end of the day, is the good guy.
Yeah.
And you want him to be the hero. So getting to see the Hulk as a hero, I think, makes a huge difference.
Right. Instead of it just being
him
mad,
on the run and they're trying
things,
to get him.
And they're trying to get him and he gets away.
Right.
He's supposed to be a good guy.
Yeah. Like that. And you want to see. And I thought the way Ruffalo played it was great.
Yeah.
For me, I thought he was.
Yeah, that was good. I also liked the Captain America stuff, which I didn't really care for. It makes me want to go back and watch Captain America because I didn't really care for Captain America. But in the Avengers, I found his character really compelling.
Right. I mean, I liked the Captain America movie, but it just was too long. It was really just too long. But this was impressive.
It also makes me want to watch Thor? Iron Man and Hulk movie, them together.
Just them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun. Yeah, it was impressive, man. And
Thor,
I like.
It's fine. Yeah. And Thor, just because of the...
I just really
like
their all
like
their
a
dynamic
god or whatever, and I don't. It's something I don't connect with
right.
that character.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just. It was just fun.
It was
man.
Enjoyable.
It was
I had a good time. I was fun. If you want to see a big summer movie, and you haven't already seen it.
I actually have a really.
Have.
I have a funny story. Before the movie started, you know, the trailers are on, and I saw an early movie in the day, so there were a lot of kids there, and behind me. There were some kids. They must five or six. I don't know how old they were. I didn't really turn around, but there's some big action sequence goes on in the trailer, and I hear behind me, "Oh man, that was tight. That was so tight."
Wow.
I was dying laughing. It's like, "You see that? That was tight."
That's really funny.
It was so cute, man.
That's tight, man. That is tight.
It was tight. What else about the Avengers? Yeah, I mean, that, I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't seen it.
People, if you want to see a big summer superhero movie, that's about as good as it gets until Batman comes out.
Right. But you know what? That's why I like this. It's different than the Batman stuff.
Yeah, because it's not dark.
It was so comic-y.
Yeah, yeah.
Like comic book-y, and it worked perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it really just... really just nailed it. So, food. Food. Did you eat this week?
No, not at all.
Not at all. I know, me neither. I didn't eat anything. I'm starving myself. I don't know. It was, I did have one thing to talk about. I had a couple of things. I had really good Ethiopian food, but I don't feel like talking about it today. I had a new Ben & Jerry's.
Okay.
And every now and then I like to talk about the new Ben & Jerry's on the show.
And by every now and then you mean every other episode.
It's not every other episode.
It's pretty close, but go ahead.
So it comes and goes in waves. Like, I hadn't done a Ben & Jerry's in a few months.
We did one pretty recently. We talked about ice cream pretty recently.
No, we did. What did we talk about? We did talk about... oh, I talked about the chocolate therapy thing.
Yes.
So this... I know, I'm like all over the Ben & Jerry's, but I can't help it. I'm going to talk about something else, too.
Summertime is coming up.
I know. Ice cream on the brain. So they have this new line of Greek frozen yogurts. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And I thought that was an interesting concept. So at the grocery store the other day, as I was perusing ice creams, I thought, oh, I'll try the Greek frozen yogurt because I like Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they had Greek frozen yogurt with blueberry and graham cracker swirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yum. It was good. You know what it tastes like?
Overwhelmed by it.
Well, I really liked it, but it really had that tart Greek yogurt taste to it.
Right, right, right.
So it wasn't like a flavored Greek yogurt.
Right.
It was just plain Greek yogurt with the blueberry and the, so you really, it's strong. That taste is strong. Like normally I can consume a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream in one sitting. That is the norm for me, unfortunately. But this, I really was only able to eat half. but it was really good.
Right.
It was really good. It was fresh blueberry, and it's a unique flavor because you just eating Ben & Jerry's, you expect that ice cream taste.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, do you ever eat Greek yogurt in general?
Yeah, I like Greek yogurt, but not as a substitute for ice cream. Like, I would eat yogurt in the morning.
Yeah, it's not.
Or, you know, as a snack at some point, but it's not, I don't, you know.
When you want that craving, it's not what you're
I don't care for, I've never cared for, like, the pink berry thing. I don't like tart,
you
frozen
don't like tart. Yeah.
Yogurt. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, It was good. Outstanding. No substitute for ice cream. No, but if you wanted frozen yogurt, definitely go for it. I mean, is it any healthier? Not really. Yeah. blueberry, always good. God love blueberry.
I'm a big blueberry fan.
You are a blueberry fan.
Anything else? Gee, anything else crazy this past couple of weeks? It's been 2 weeks.
I know. Well, I did have great Ethiopian food. I should talk about that, except I don't have the full ingredients. This place called Meals by Ganang, which is
I've eaten there. It's good.
It's been mentioned on the Food Network, you know, best thing I ever ate kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible Ethiopian food. I like Ethiopian food a lot.
Yeah, Ethiopian food's great.
And it's fun to eat with your hands.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, and just there's always just different crazy flavors and tastes, and you know, really your mouth just gets to have a lot of fun. Your taste buds go wild. Your taste buds go wild. Let's keep it clean here, Jamie. Keep it clean.
All I said was
but what I did want to mention was there's Sprinkles Cupcakes has the cupcake chain around the country.
Yes.
And they're opening them all over the place. So this summer, shortly, actually in like 2 weeks.
This summer.
coming to Beverly Hills, California. Sprinkles Ice Cream. They're opening an ice cream shop. And right next to Sprinkles. And I was reading about it, and it's all homemade ice cream in-house. Mm-hmm. Different flavors. They're, you know, going to take real care to it. It just seems to me such a brilliant, logical expansion of the Sprinkles
brand. Cupcakes and ice cream?
Well, no, but to the Sprinkles brand.
Right.
Because Sprinkles go on
ice cream. I see.
Sundays. Yeah. So I thought it was really smart.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't, you know, I think I personally have the, I'm not like the world's biggest Sprinkles fan.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's good. I mean, it's good. They're right. good. It's good cupcake. But I also am not like
but guess a what Scott else Gold cupcake. Guess what else they're going to be fanatic. Serving at the Sprinkles ice cream shop?
What?
Homemade chocolate chip cookies. which I am going to be fascinated by, and I can't wait to try.
But what about Diddy Reese, Scott?
Oh, Diddy Reese.
When's the last time you had Diddy Reese?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I've ever talked about Diddy Reese on the show?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I ever have. Well, the next time you and I have Diddy Reese, which now may happen today, that we've talked about it, it's an ice cream sandwich place in Westwood, California that we will discuss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my food this week wasn't out of this world. You know, what can I say? Anyway, I think that wraps it up for... this week's show, unless you got anything to add, Mr. Dooner?
No. Nothing to add.
Nothing to add, eh?
No.
Okay. Thanks for joining. This was wonderful.
Later, dudes.
Yeah, dude. So that's what that music is. No. What? Nothing. I was going back
chill
to
wave.
The chill wave.
I see. If anyone knows what his callback meant, please...
Tweet me.
BSTRDMONKEY.
At ScottyG7. Check us out on iTunes and all over TechBacon.net, Facebook, all
Stitcher.
Blue. There's like this Blackberry podcast website that we're on too. We're all over.
That's news to me.
Jamie D. We are all, you can find us anywhere. TechBacon lives. Anyway, have a wonderful week. And we'll catch you next week. I'm Scott.
I'm Jamie.
Bye.